devotee is seeing a tree, but he's not seeing a tree, he's seeing Krishna. He sees the tree, but he sees it as Krishna's energy. This is just before that. The devotees are always trying to find Krishna. Where is Krishna? They're always thinking of Krishna. Devotee, Prabhupada, you say in your book so many times that somehow or other we've fallen into this material world due to our enviousness or our independence. Prabhupada, many, there are many reasons. Devotee, I can't seem to get a grasp on that at all. If we are in our original constitutional position as part and parcel of Krishna, and in that position is full of knowledge and full of bliss, and that's our real nature, and I have some experience of how strong this material energy is and how Maya works, but if I had known this and had this full knowledge, then I would have this knowledge of how Maya works, and how I might fall. He's trying to think that in the spiritual world you know all about the material world. No, when you're in the spiritual world you don't know about, you know. It's like most people don't know what it's like in prison. Except what they see in the movies, or they don't believe there's really such a thing or something. I know when we were in school they took us to the jail and locked us in just to show us, you know, what it's like for a couple of minutes to try to teach us. You read the life of Jai, Vijay, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. They were Krishna's doorkeepers. How did they fall down? Did they read it? Did you read the life of Hiranyakashipu? Did you read it? Yes. So how did they fall? They are from Vaikuntha. They are Krishna's personal associates, keeping the doorkeepers. How did they fall? Anyway, there is a chance of falling down at any moment. Well, in his family, they wanted to enjoy the material world, the devotee says. Prabhupada said, whatever it may be, the fall down is there. So because we are living entities, we are not as powerful as Krishna. Therefore, we may fall down from Vaikuntha at any moment. Hicha dvesha samutrena sarge yanti parantapa. Find this verse. When Prabhupada was preaching, almost always call for the Bhagavad Gita and read from it to make sure that people wouldn't be able to say what he's just saying. Icha dvesha samutrena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani samohan sarge yanti parantapa. Very strong words if you know a little Hindi, or I guess you know these words, right? O skin of Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. Icha dvesha. Icha means desire. It's funny, in English, itch, in Sanskrit, itch means desire. You want something in the material world, the more you try to satisfy that itch, the worse it gets, right? If you have it, you know, and you scratch your children, the mother, when they have a sore, and the mother says, don't scratch it. The more you scratch it, it gets all infected. So the more we try to satisfy these material desires, the stronger they get. They get all infected, they get terrible. So dualities, icha and dvesha, desire and hate. The dvesha also means envy. The word is translated both ways, because envy means you hate someone for having what you want. And then that makes people sick. Welcome. Hare Krishna. Okay. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. pure devotees who are not so deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies, but those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. That is their misfortune. Such deluded people symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. Those are the dualities. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll find that word many times. And basically, we're all controlled by those things. We want nice things, we want pleasure, we want people to love us, we don't want anyone to hate us, we want money, we don't want to be poor, we want to be beautiful. And then the people exploit, you know, that. So you see it, I was just in Africa, so naturally that's on my mind, but it's very strong there. So the people are basically quite dark, African people, right? So they have many signboards advertising soap, bath soap. And it says, you know, be more beautiful, upgrade your skin, things, those kind of things. And it always shows a girl that's very golden color. That's a very rare person out of all the people in Ghana or Nigeria. There's not very many. They're African. They might be mixed up, or, you know, for some reason they're not as dark, but there's not so many of them. But almost always, in all that where they show that's supposed to be beautiful, they show a very light-skinned person. They exploit this idea that, you know, they want to make people think that, although now they show Santa Claus, Coca-Cola shows Santa Claus as an African. You know, Santa Claus originally wore green clothes, but then the Coca-Cola one year, they put their advertisement, they put Santa Claus in red and white Coca-Cola colors, and ever since he's red and white, he's always advertising Coca-Cola. People are very clever. People want to control. We come to the material world because we want to control. We want to be the proprietor. We want to be the master. So another one of the mobile phone carriers there in Africa, it's called Globe. There's all their signboards say, rule your world. You'll be the king. You'll be the ruler. Because we want that. Not that, and I don't know how anyone could believe you could get that just by having a mobile phone. Why that mobile phone would be any different than any other mobile phone. The big signs say never drops out, never quits. And I got 10 times in one day and it worked out. So, rule my world. We want that. We want to be the boss. We want to be the proprietor. That's why we're here. And we're controlled by all these dualities. Short and tall, you know, skinny and fat. I go to the health store, they have all this weight gain stuff, and they have slimming clinics everywhere. In Europe here, we have solariums everywhere. Get a suntan, get dark skin. That's better, right? You'll be more beautiful. People think you have money and you went on a vacation, right? So you have a suntan. Right? But it used to be that being very, very white meant you were very rich. That's why they called the royalty blue bloods. Because they didn't have to go out and work in the sun. The poor people have to go out and work. It used to be that the poor people, the laborers, had all the big muscles and nice bodies, right? And the rich people had big fat bellies and they don't have to work. They can sit in their office all day and stay home. Things changed, but everybody wants something different. And the unlimited dualities like that, rich and poor, nobody wants to be poor. So they advertise how nice it would be if you're rich, then you can be really happy. If you're in another place, you'll be happy. So that's why we're here. Then we think, this is mine, it's my house, my wife, I'm the master, I'm the husband. These are dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna says later on in chapter 7, Yesham Fantikatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. When one has given up all bad karma, bad activities, and performing pious activities, and take Vanda Moha Nirmukta, and he's liberated from the dualities of delusion, then he can serve Krishna with a Dhrita Bhakta. A strong vow can engage in Bhakti Yoga. So then the devotee asked, why doesn't Krishna protect us from this desire? So even in Vaikuntha, if I desire, why shall I serve Krishna? Why not become Krishna? I immediately fall down. That is natural. A servant is serving the master. Sometimes he may think, if I could become the master, right? There are thinking like that. They are trying to become God. That is delusion. You cannot become God. That's not possible. But he's wrongly thinking like that. That's in my body, they preach like that. You are God. You can become God. And they attract a lot much more people than we do by saying you can serve God, you know, which is more fun. But they, oh, I can be God? Wow, great. Isn't it? It's not easy, though, to think about it. If you had to be God, know everything, you know, everything, everywhere, and have to keep track of it, you know, you'd go, we couldn't do it. Even I read a review of some movie where a guy became God, you know, and then he was getting millions of emails every day or something, and I'm trying to, couldn't keep up with it. So somebody had a little bit of an idea that it couldn't be so easy. And besides that, God means the original person, the source of everything. Has no source himself, so how can you can't become that? If you're not that already, you can't become that. So people don't, they have to be very ignorant of what is God to even believe that. But it works. You are God, you can be God, I am God, I'll make you God, just follow me. He's wrongly thinking. So the devotee says, why doesn't Krishna protect us from this? In other words, you know, why doesn't Krishna? So Prabhupada said, he is protecting you. He said, you rascal, you don't want to surrender to me. You don't do it. Then the devotee says, why didn't he save me from thinking like this? Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, that means you lose your independence. This is the key understanding. And then the devotee says, then there's no love. Prabhupada said, yes, that is force. Prema. In Bengali it said, if you catch one boy or girl, you love me, you love me, you love me. Is that love? You love me, otherwise I'll kill you. Is that love? So Krishna does not want to become a lover like that, at the point of a gun. I read one police book, because we have to deal with a lot of criminals and stuff. And there was one rapist, and he would get the girl with a gun, and he had one script where she would read, I love you, I'm mad after you, I want you, I love you, I can't live without you, at gunpoint. And in the court he said, she loved me, she begged. It was a love, there was no force. That's not love. So if Krishna was like that, what's the value? There's no love. That's threatening. Love is reciprocal, voluntary, good exchange of feeling. Then there's love, not by force. That's rape. Why one is called lover, another is called rape? Devotee. But isn't it by force anyway? If we don't love Krishna, we suffer. I don't know if this devotee really felt this way, or he was trying to represent atheists. But these are the kind of arguments people give. What's wrong with God? You know, why isn't everything nice? Why is there war and terrorists and all that? Why doesn't he make everything nice? So he did. The spiritual world is nice. We didn't want to stay there. It's like the people in the prison. They complain sometimes the food's no good. You know, it's not nice here. The government should make it nicer. But they were, if they would just be, had been proper citizens, they could have lived all right. So they have their freedom. Prabhupada said, that is your business. You'll suffer. But that Krishna does not force you. He says the real, you love me, you'll be happy. If you don't love me, you suffer. That's up to you. You can't help that. That's just the way it is. So what is the choice? The devotee says, Prabhupada, choice is yours. If you are a rascal, you don't make the choice, the best choice. You suffer. The rascals, they suffer. And intelligent men, they do not suffer. If you are intelligent, then Krishna says, you surrender to me, you surrender, then you are intelligent. If you are a rascal, then you will reject. When the father says to his rascal son, my dear son, now just hear me, you do like this, you'll be happy. If he does not do it, he'll suffer. There's no other alternative. Yes. Srila Prabhupada, why is the mature world made on the level of a jailhouse? It's made on the level of a jailhouse, I've been told. The attitude of the jail instead of the attitude. Yes, because there will be so many criminals. Therefore, government has to construct a jailhouse. It is the government's not desire. It's not their desire. It's expensive and unnecessary. But because they are rascals who will become criminal, the government has a jail. One who wants to remain independent of Krishna, for them there is material world. All right, you can stay there. Now in America, one of the most flourishing businesses is anything to do with the prison. So many criminals. They have the world record of people in jail. America holds many world records. Somehow people want to go there, but they have the most people in jail. They have so much air pollution, they have the most drunkard, the most drug addict, they have the most crime, you know, almost everything there, number one. But still they think, we can't, for me everything will be nice. So the prison has to be there, and it's very costly for the government to maintain people in the prison. For the big prisoners in America, the death row, it's something like $50,000 a year to keep them in the prison. They could go to Harvard University with all expenses, dormitory and, you know, everything. But they chose by their lifestyle. So the same devotee says, we also have Krishna's fulfilling desires of every living entity. So if we want to enjoy independently of Krishna, why doesn't he let us really enjoy independently of him? Really far out questions. Prabhupada said, that is not possible. So the devotee is saying, I want to enjoy independently of Krishna, so if he's fulfilling all desires, why can't I really enjoy? It's not possible. That is Maya, his call. You are not the enjoyer, you are a servant. Because you are willing to become enjoyer, you suffer. You are not enjoyer. Of course, when we're independent, sometimes we think we're enjoying, like anything. When a person is drunk, they think, oh, I'm very happy, I have absolutely no problem. You can forget that there's a recession, you can forget that you have AIDS, you can forget everything while you're thinking you're enjoying. But then afterward, there's reaction. That can't be helped. Krishna lets us enjoy, but then we have to get the reaction for enjoying. The thief enjoys, but then he has to suffer. So the devotee says, then he's not fulfilling our desires. Prabhupada, no, you wanted to enjoy. Enjoy at your risk. Sometimes you'll become the king of heaven, and sometimes you'll become germs in the stool room. the devotees laughs. He says, "Oh, enjoy at your own risk." Prabhupada said, "That is the fact." So the same devotee saying, instead of in, under his protection, you enjoy at your own risk. Prabhupada said, therefore he advises, "You rascal, give up all this enjoying spirit. Just surrender to me. You'll be happy. But if we don't accept it, therefore sometimes we're in the heavenly kingdom, sometimes a worm in the stool. That's going on. It is your risk. And even the worm in the stool, if you take him out, he'll go right back and think it's nice." So even Krishna's trying to take us out from the material, he keeps saying, "Oh, wait a minute, you know, I kind of like it here. I do have fun sometimes. I, you know, so many things I need." So we can't, that's what's holding us back from really surrendering. So then Prabhupada gets into more of it. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise work binds one to the material world. Therefore, son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. So that's just might help you if anyone ever asked about that. How could we, if the spiritual world is so nice, they'll say, why would we leave? Maybe it's not that nice. So maybe why should we bother trying to go back? Let us find a nice situation here. Right? The mind is very, very tricky like that. Maya, that's how Maya works. So we can think like that. But different examples are there, like sometimes I was sick for a long time, walking was very, very painful, and then the doctor says, soon you can get up and walk, but the person, no, no, I don't want to, because it was so painful, and you can't believe it, and then they have to be forced to try to live a normal life again. So we, you know, we might be a little bit afraid. We're thinking, well, it's not that bad. I can, you know, maybe it looks like somebody's happy over there. But, you know, we see people always suffering, always wanting to change their situation, but not knowing that there's a spiritual situation and there's a much better, you know, alternative. We can be very happy. Devotees should be in that way happy with, you know, whatever. Yajushtha. Whatever comes along automatically in the, as far as material life. May get rich, may be poor, the Krishna takes care of everyone. And only according to our karma we're going to get more or less anyway. So we do our duty. But spiritually it's up to us. Whatever we endeavor for, we can get. Spiritual advancement does not depend on your karma. It doesn't depend on your, you know, birth or your education or, you know, your age or your gender, you know, anything like that. It only depends on our endeavor to take up the practice, beginning with chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and ending with chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, and the middle is also chanting. That's it. That's all there is to it. Everything is based on, you know, how much we chant. We try to really connect with Krishna. Krishna is a person. He's the supreme person. And just like Prabhupada, first he said, someone asked, "Is Krishna there in the picture?" And I'm looking at him. He said, "Even when you're not looking at him, he's there." So, the holy name is Krishna, and we can associate with Krishna by chanting. That's the most merciful way that Krishna comes, and any time, any place, you know, no matter who we are, we can chant the holy name, and we're actually with Krishna. How much we can appreciate that, that's what we want to practice more and more, to get purified so we can actually understand, actually, you know this is Krishna. Krishna is there, the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna, the Prasadam is Krishna, it's all Krishna. But that's, prasada means mercy. That's just something like, you know, we need to eat to maintain these bodies. It's also pleasurable to eat. Now the yogis generally, the tapasvis, they say you shouldn't eat things that taste good, you know, because that will make you get attached to good taste. But prasadam tastes good, but it's Krishna. We shouldn't, you know, we should be going beyond thinking, oh, this tastes good, giving more and more and more. But even that will get someone, they're still getting Krishna. But we want to come to the point of understanding this is Krishna. We're associating with Krishna. He's so kind. But even though I have this gross body and I have to eat and so many things, he comes in this nice way. That's what the prayer says. Shariravi Jajala. You know, Krishna is so kind, he gives us this prasadam, a spiritual food. And then we can purify the tongue and come as a deity. We can see the beautiful form of Krishna and purify the eyes, and we can hear the beautiful sound of Krishna's name or the slokas of the scriptures. We can smell and see the flowers offered to Krishna and get pure from. Just so we offer everything to Krishna first, then everything can also enjoy, but it becomes better. Better tasting, better smelling, more beautiful, and also then we'll get purified. All right, so thank you very much. Any questions? Yeah.
Household life?
Huh?
If I was having a child, does it household life? Can you get married in Krishna consciousness?
Can you get married?
I just think I'm married.
Anybody here married? You're on. Yes. Most of our members are married.
The name of a priest that comes here is Mukio. They can do the vows.
Anyway, marriage is normal. Normally married people make up the majority of society. The point is to be Krishna conscious. You know, yeah, to think of Krishna always. That's what we want. So yeah, so that's, you know, like in people name their children names of Krishna, and they think of Krishna as at least a little bit. But the name of Krishna is Krishna, and the mother, you know, wants to teach the baby to be a devotee, so it makes her think about it more. Marriage is fine. Wherever situation one is the most comfortable to practice bhakti yoga practices, that's good. Alright? Any other questions?
Yeah. Aside from what you just mentioned about, one thing I've always wondered about is, aside from what you were speaking about, why do the men shave their heads and wear a tail?
Oh yeah. Well, there's a movie of Prabhupada when he went on television in 1968 or something, maybe a little later. And at that time, it was really shocking to have a man shave his head. That was just when the hippie thing came, and the first time I never had long hair, you know, freedom. So it was considered so beautiful to have long hair. So their people were shocked. You know, how can you shave your head? Why not? Can you do that? Like it would hurt. So the prophet said, well, we just like to keep clean. And the guy was, oh, it's because he's looking for some big spiritual explanation. So the monks, generally, in all religious traditions, they shave their head.
And the tail?
Well, the tail is for the Vaishnava. Just like the Roman Catholic, many different orders, they cut their hair a little bit different. And one of our friends, a priest in Africa, he said when he took his vows as a priest, they shaved this part. So he said that was the same thing. So this lets people know that we're Vaishnavas, followers of Krishna. It's a very traditional thing. You know, the personality. My body is shaped completely the Buddhist. People that don't, that it's all one, there's no variety, no person. So, that's why we shave the head. Not all men do, but monks do. clean, it's easy, and that's quick to take care of. And the Madhagi is usually just keep straight hair and tied back. You don't have to go to the beauty shop every week and spend a lot of money. One devotee gave a very good answer on another time on television. So it reduces vanity for the man, you know. Right? Because that hair, I'm sure they still advertise it. I know when I was young, there was two hair cutting hair. One was called Brill Cream. I think they still have it. I saw it somewhere. Another one called Wild Root Cream. So there are television advertisements that like the girls will all come chasing after you if you just comb your hair with this stuff. And then, you know, they'd show the guy combing his hair and all of a sudden there's a big gang of women like and we believe that, you know, you're 10 years old and you really believe that. Robert by shaving the head was previously considered not attractive to the opposite sex. Now it is. Things have changed. Obviously shaved head for different reasons. Simplicity, or you know, some big athlete shaved his head because he's going bald or something. And in Africa, they call him in America, like Jimi Hendrix, Afro haircut. I've never seen that in Africa. Yes, mostly they shave their head because it's so hot. It's much easier just to shave it. You know, finish. So, but then this is. Just let's just know like this that they were Hare Krishna. Okay, any other? Yeah.
When we're thinking about Krishna, chanted, and then I want to think about an image, like thinking about Krishna as an image in my crown or my hair or my mouth.
Well, first we try to just concentrate on the sound of the holy name, but that is Krishna. So we may remember Krishna in different ways. We may remember his form. We may remember, you know, whatever way you think of him is all right. But it's best to, when you're chanting, to concentrate on that sound, and then that will clear up everything. Of course, a pure chanter, they're remembering Krishna's leelas and seeing Krishna. They're actually in Vaikuntha. But just by hearing the sound, that'll come. Alright? When we're looking at the deity, when we see the form of Krishna, when we're hearing the Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing the words of Krishna. Yeah, so.
Why do people eat animals?
Why do people eat animals? They don't know any better. They're practically living like animals. They're envious of the animals. I guess that's it, basically. They want to prove their superiority. It's a demoniac tendency, although nowadays the demons, not everybody's a demon, but the demons are very influential, so they have convinced almost everybody to live like demons. So, and that's why we try to distribute prasada more and more, good vegetarian food, and people know that they don't need it. And now there's more and more awareness is there that animal slaughter is one of the biggest contributors to the global warming and all the pollution and everything. It's actually the biggest single contributor. So even the government of Australia now is campaigning, you know, save the earth, become vegetarian. Be vegetarian. Yeah.
I believe you can say it is maybe you come from animals like monkeys.
Huh?
That Darwin's view.
Yeah.
Makes it sound like animals to be like an animal. But if you look at where we come from, monkeys only eat peanuts and...
Some monkeys eat bugs and stuff.
So that's not really centric,
isn't They're it? Not like... Hunting.
That's
But a lot of people were monkeys in their previous life.
horrible.
It's said that generally from human life, either a monkey or a cow or a tiger or something, depending on what modes of nature the person is in. But not that monkeys give birth to humans. They have no evidence of that anywhere, and certainly no one's ever seen it. But they're still trying to say that it happened sometimes. Mm-hmm. Even if it only happened twice, one man and one woman, then they gave it up, right? And that wouldn't make much sense. So Darwin just got it a little wrong, you know. He could see that there's so much similarity, you know, between the animals. All the mammals, even frogs and stuff, they have very similar intestines and lungs and stomach and livers and kidneys and everything. So that could mean that something evolved in that way. It also could mean that the same designer, right? And just designed all these things and they're all similar. So according to the modes of nature one is in, like certain animals, they eat meat. That's their nature. Humans are in a higher amount of freedom and independence, so we have a choice. Omnivore, you know. An animal is usually an herbivore or a carnivore, right? A meat eater or a vegetable eater. There's a few animals that are omnivore, but the human can just eat, we can do whatever we want, so it's a great opportunity, but it's also risky to have that much independence. And many people misuse it and they become attracted to modes of ignorance, and so they like violence and they want to eat meat, and it gives them energy that they think is good, because a lot of sexual energy, it helps you get angry and powerful and stuff like that. But due to ignorance and due to never having been given any better alternative, you know, most people don't know there's anything else. And now more and more people in the poor countries are getting rich and they're eating more and more meat. And we need to educate them. The best way to educate is distribute spiritual food like this. Alright? Any more questions? Pretty good. Everyone's pretty lively today. Yeah. Christmas spirit. And the best Christmas present to give someone is the Bhagavad Gita or something. If they have Bhagavad Gita already. And some people will think, wait, I know I wanted a bottle of whiskey or something. They'll benefit by getting that book. So if you really want to be Santa Claus, and we have plenty of books, and we can take some and distribute them to your friends, or sell them even. You know, people give a little donation, and everybody benefits by hearing and, you know, contact with Krishna in so many different ways, and people will get purified. Things will get better and better. Any other question before we? Yeah.
A few services for this.
Huh?
Three people serve the facade.
You need servants?
Food.
So everything is ready? Alright, who would like to help serve? One, two, three. Alright, that's enough, right?
Can we go wash your hands, please?
Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.